Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth
drama.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth
drama.
Smooth drama with your host Dick Hugger, aka F the N word, and my glamorous co-host Miss 100%. Sorry, I think we had a technical snafu there. We didn't get to start on time, but yes, we are here. And tonight we have actress, model, slash dancer, slash all around entertainer, Karita Fleming. So if you want to holler at us, or if you've seen the video and pictures of her, you want to holler slash stalk her, feel free to give us a call, 646-929-2037. Once again, the call-in number is 646-929-2037. And I know some of y'all are a little too shy to call in, so feel free if you have questions, comments, or concerns. Email me, dick@smoothdrama.com. Also, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, tag, MySpace, my yearbook. You can follow me on Twitter, Smooth Drama. If you want to hit me up on Facebook, tag, MySpace, my yearbook, Bebo, whatever, high five, I'm Dick Hugger. Add me, I'll add you. It's all good. And last but not least, because I want you to holler at my homegirl, too. The glamorous Miss 100% can be found. You go to our Smooth Drama site, www.smoothdrama.com. Go to the About Us page. You can find all the information that you want on the glamorous Miss 100%. And she's got her her Smooth Drama superhero and suit on also there. Yeah, but I just wanted to put that out there. And while she's putting stuff out there, I'd be remiss in saying that I didn't wish everybody a happy Mother's Day before we got off, so not to date myself, but happy belated Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. I know how hard you working. I know it's a hard, unrewarding job. Sometimes it seems, but so, you know, we appreciate you. And also am appreciating that the Lakers lost. The Lakers lost. And I'm so
Gosh.
Yeah. I am happy.
You guys must really feel so big now that you finally defeated the Giants, huh?
Yeah.
It's just the Lakers. This giant that everybody, or this dragon that everybody sees that has to be slain. And finally, they didn't cut the head off the dragon, and now, you know, they just, everybody's walking around with an S on their chest. But trust and believe, there's always next year.
Okay, well, whatever. That's got nothing to do with what we talking about tonight. They lost, and that's it. Speaking of losing, there's a man, well, not a man, but a woman suing a man. A woman suing her ex-husband over impotence. The bi woman suing her ex-husband for failing to inform her he couldn't have sex before they tied the knot. She's seeking $11 million in damages for mental anguish. She alleges that when she got married, her husband forced her to quit her job, give up all her jewelry, and then he proceeded to deprive her of her conjugal privileges. After 4 sexless months, she learned he suffered from erectile dysfunction. And because they were in the Arab country, Arab values, she didn't want to be out there with it, so she prayed on it, and it didn't improve. So she sued him, $11 million. Now, my question to you is this, Ms. 100%.
I'm ready.
I'm sure impotence has come up in your lifetime experience, and I'm kind of shocked that it hasn't happened here before, where somebody, you know, with all the frivolous lawsuits, you think that it's a lawsuit waiting to happen here in the United States, that one day a woman's gonna say enough, I'm tired of this 1 minute and I can't take it no more, and you're going to take our man to court.
Okay. So my take on the whole situation, it's a lot of different elements that's going on with this whole thing. First of all, I can understand the mental anguish part of it. I truly can. And especially when you're in a devoted relationship and you find out that somebody has hidden something from you that was a problem before you guys got married, and they knew about it. So that right there alone makes the marriage invalid, because you were not who you said you were. And sex is a very, very big part of any relationship, any committed relationship.
So,
as far as the suing part, I don't know if you can get, you know, money or damages because of something like that, but I am sure, as far as pretending, you know, that you can handle your business and you really can't, I mean, if they ever allow that to happen here, I'm telling you, it'll be people lined up outside the courthouse to sue the hell out of some people.
It's called Viagra.
But Viagra don't always work. I'm going to tell you that now.
Oh, well.
Yeah. It sometimes it's gone way past the point of any type of drug or any type of help, you know, and it's sad. That's real sad, though.
I guess.
Especially if a woman wants a child.
Yeah, I'm thinking that if he was a millionaire like that, she's suing him for $11 million, there wasn't going to be a lot of child rearing going on anyway. Rich people don't have a lot of kids. They spend money.
But you said she was Arab, though. And with that culture, having descendants or having, you know, children, you know, to carry on a family name, that's a big deal for their culture.
Yeah, okay. I look at it, I just think that it's hilarious. And like you said, it'd be a long line if that kind of stuff happened here. And then what happens when the men start suing the women because she didn't please me?
Right.
Yeah, there's way too much. That
to me, it is frivolous. It really is frivolous. It's just, you know, to me, it's like build a bridge and get over it, really. You know, move on. But again, the culture she's in, she can't just go out there and, you know, get another man like that.
Yeah.
So it's, yes.
You can kind of get your head cut off. I can understand the trepidation.
Yes.
On that note, because we kind of are behind on time here, we're going to go to our break. This is Big Crit, song called Another Naive Individual, Glorifying Greed and Encouraging Racism. See if y'all can catch that.
I want you all to go to your windows. Go to your windows and yell out. Scream with all the light that you can muster up inside your bruised, assaulted, and battered bodies. I am sick and tired of being a nigga.
Tell the government, I don't want to be another nigga. Tell them white folk, I don't want to be another nigga. Tell them black folk, I don't want to be another nigga. Tell the world, I don't want to be another nigga. Waiting with my hands out, broke in the hood, they give a damn about. Bragging to my homie about the hoes I fuck. Drinking bottles after bottle cause I smoke too much. I never had a job that would pay me well. I took what I could cause they gave me hell. Spend what I stole on some clothes and kicks. My ex-girl say I want a mouth of shit, but she suck and fuck when my car roll up. Try to fuck her sister but she talk too much. Her mama shake her head whenever I come round. Whatever high I had when I saw her might come down. I barely go to church but I say I will. I bow my head right before I eat my meal. The world's fucked up and they claiming I'm to blame. It's a damn shame cause I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell the government I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell them white folk I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell them black folk I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell the world I don't wanna be another nigga. Waiting on the play to come through. Chilling with my homeboys plotting on you. Watching movies how to come up quick. Recruiting young niggas I can come up with. Barely read books but they down to shoot. Live life breaking rules, they got something to prove. Parents ain't around, they got nothing to lose. Wave a tool on a fool for some brand new shoes. Little child running wild in the streets. Wanna be a G, so he look up to me. Try to hit the block and make a name. Claim he caught a body, now we got it, and he feeling all the same. Till the family of the victim come knocking. Bailing through the corners of the ghetto till they shot him. You still dying, and they claiming I'm to blame. It's a damn shame, cause I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell the government, I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell them white folk, I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell them black folk, I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell the world, I don't wanna be another nigga. Always trying to sell you something. Don't really know shit, but try to tell you something. Tap dance if you want him to. Could have fed the hungry, but he bought them jewels. Won't ever look back, cause he gotta keep moving. Even if he leave his own people bamboozled. Taking credit like he did it by himself. Too much pride to realize that he really had help. Only judge a man by his wealth. He ain't me, so he can't feel how I felt. He saw me walking and he ain't looked back. Too scared. We make eye contact. So he could say he didn't see me when he drove by. And I could say he didn't see me and it's alright. He just wants the fame from the game. It's a shame. I bet he think I'm just another nigga. Tell the government I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell them white folk, I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell them black folk, I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell the world, I don't wanna be another nigga.
Together you got to move, drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Big Crit, Another Naive Individual, Glorifying Greed and Encouraging Racism. That's a great song.
You know, Dick, my email is blowing up over that song that you just played. and I gather that the job that you set out, you know, to do with playing that song, you know, you accomplished the goal because. That makes me happy.
I'm F the N word for a reason. Like he said, he don't want to be one. I don't want to be it either to nobody.
And
on that note, we gonna get our distinguished guest on Miss Carita Fleming, so that we can talk about her and her many accomplishments. Maybe she might want to chime in.
Hello?
Miss Fleming, welcome to Smooth Drama.
What up? I'm mad at you guys. You should do a cut off the Viagra conversation before I can get in on it.
How
are you? How you doing, Miss Butter Pecan?
It's just 100%.
Butter Pecan is not. Miss Butter Pecan is not on the show any longer. This is my new co-host, Miss 100%. Sorry about that.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry, Miss 100%. I'm sorry.
No problem.
I came at you with 25%. I'm mad. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
No, we can bring back the Viagra anytime. But
no, the only thing I got to say about that is, okay, how come you can't smoke weed, which grows out of the earth, but we spend millions of dollars to make old men's dicks hard? But wait, which one's more unnatural right there? The Viagra's legal.
Why you hating on old men and they hard dicks?
Hey, they hating on my Mary. They hating on Mary Jane.
Right. Let's get on some of that. Yeah. Let's.
That's the thing. It's a little thing. Like if you leave Mary Jane alone, then maybe we'll leave you in your old ass penis alone.
All righty then. So people know who we have. We have Carita Fleming here, actress, model. Film star, talk about. I mean, because in reading up on your bio and all the things that you've done as far as acting wise and doing movies and doing plays and the modeling, which one did you find that you gravitated more toward, that you enjoyed more?
You know what? I started modeling quite by accident. My mom was a model, my aunt was a model. So, you know, of course I grew up and I did not want to be a model. I wanted to be a tomboy, play football, do anything but modeling. I really got into modeling because I thought it was an easy way to get into acting. But modeling pretty much happened. I got out of college and I was like, what am I going to do? I don't want to do business. Do I still want to be an actor? I was walking on the street and I said, well, okay, I don't know what I'm going to do. Just give me a sign. And within 5 minutes, the woman from, not Vogue, but a woman from Cosmo magazine walked up and said, do you want to be a model? And I kind of smiled.
Like,
wow. Okay.
No, I got
it. It literally happened that fast for me.
I got to make a comment, though. You are an unusual model because your booty is too big. I've never seen a model with a big butt before.
I've never seen that before.
we got a call. Hold on a second. We got a call. Welcome to Smooth Drama. You're on the air. You have a question?
Yes. I would like to give a shout-out to my stepmom, Dietra.
Okay.
What up, Dietra?
Hey, what's cracking?
Hey, nothing. I want to tell you I love you, and I'm listening to your show.
All right.
Well, I'm glad you're listening, and just make sure that you tell everybody about it. Just run your mouth about it. You feel me?
I will.
All right. Love you.
Love you,
all
too.
Right.
Bye.
All right.
Okay. That's what's up.
My daughter. Okay. That was a shock.
Yeah, it
looks... All right. Well, now getting back. Now you're saying that I mean you were offered the modeling job just walking around, and like I was saying, you don't fit the profile of a model.
No, I don't. That's what struck me even more because I wasn't trying, but then it's maybe the fact that I'm about 5'9", 5'10". So I'm not a short person.
Yeah.
But that's what always struck me about that was weird to me that they would walk up and ask me, and I'm like, I got hips and curves, and that was before everybody was into the hips and curves. That was before Kim Kardashian. I was like, I got hips and curves, because even at my smallest, I can weigh 140 pounds, I weighed 135 pounds. That booty ain't go nowhere. But at the same time, I think maybe the industry isn't so about how you look, it's just how you bring it. Like, you can only go butt so far you with just looking good. You can be a pretty girl all day. But if you bring it in the right way, you can be Monique. Monique comes to the room, and I'm sure Monique brings it. She ain't worried about being overweight. She ain't worried about that.
Well,
I think it was a lot of just how you carry yourself. A lot of it is confidence.
Right.
And for me, I'm not overweight, but at the same time, I got hips and curves. I got the things that that industry tells you you're not supposed to have. But then again, look at models like Tyra. Tyra ain't no bone.
Right. Well, I mean, I can tell you that most men that I know, we appreciate the ass. The curves, there's nobody saying, oh, man, her ass is too big.
So it's refreshing to actually see a real person, a person that looks real and not somebody that, you know, starved themselves half to death just to be on a, you know, in a magazine or anything like that. So, yeah, it's refreshing.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I know. It's
about
being comfortable
in your own skin.
Yeah, a lot of time it's just kind of, it's not even about starving yourself. It's about being healthy. And I think the industry, what always will keep selling, just like now that you see the old models coming back, I see Naomi again on covers, is that it ain't about being overweight, it ain't about who's sick, it ain't about who's anorexic, it's about who's healthy. A healthy person that looks like they work out and take care of themselves and lives a good life will always be the one that wins out. No matter what extreme fad comes and goes, the person the healthy person will win.
Yeah.
The person because starving yourself is just as bad as overeating. All that's wrong.
Yeah. I've never understood. When you see the bones, I'm not feeling
it. But it's funny you brought that up. I actually did an article as an assistant columnist, you know, getting my little word out there, on the fashion industry. Come to find out, and they have been caught, that the main, like, person who's hired the models for these billion-dollar industry that we all buy stuff for, not only have most of their friends been busted for pedophilia, they were caught on tape selling children to businessmen for sex. So we have a group of perverts that, of course, they don't want anything curvy because they want their models to look like children. They want to try to convince the rest of us that it's cool to be down with stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, I read this article, and they even got caught filming themselves saying, well, we don't, you know, the best thing about Africa would be if all the niggas was white. And we caught them saying it. We caught them selling children on tape because they're so paid. We can't stop them from trying to infiltrate mindsets to try to make people feel, oh, well, you know what, maybe it's right for me not to be a woman or be an adult or grow these hips and curves. It's just a system of control to keep us kind of zombied out, kind of robots, by telling us black ain't right because they don't like black people.
Right, well.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes because I didn't really even understand that. As a model, you're just there and you're like, okay, I have red hair because you say we have red hair. I have this because this is what I'm supposed to do for the shoot. And I started looking at it further and realized we're kind of, as black women, because we're naturally curvy, we're black, I kind of feel like we're being assassinated. It's slowly a slow assassination in the fashion industry, so.
Well, I mean, I guess, for the people who really pay attention to the fashion industry, but like you said, it's about being healthy, and I know the majority of the guys, and being somebody who hangs around guys in the gym and all that, I never hear them talking about the anorexic girls. The anorexic girls never get talked about in the gym. The girls get talked about in the gym.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, there's an assault, obviously. We know there's a psychological assault. And actually,
of course,
that leads into my next question. I was reading Sanaa Lathan is starring in a Broadway play talking about, called Meet Vera Stark, which talks about the domestic roles that used to be stereotyped for black women. Now, I was asking you, as someone who, one, you've been in the modeling world, and you were eloquent on the images, how is it as an actress in that environment? Do they try to push you to not be naturally you, or do you try to gravitate and not be a part of those roles?
I mean, as an actor, I kind of take whatever role because it comes my way, because you got to think about it. Halle Berry and Samuel Jackson started their careers playing crackheads. I don't mind any role that comes my way, even if it's a little stereotypical, because I know people who are a little stereotypical. It's really hard to find some characters that don't fit that role, but I would say the actually worst part of the industry, it isn't trying to work with people of another color. I actually don't have any problems with having an Afro or anything that's inherently black when I work with people, when I work with, more of the Caucasian crowd in Hollywood, but I find most of my problems come when I'm trying to work from other people of the same color. We're in this industry trying to, while other groups are helping each other in this industry, we're actually part of a group that actually is fighting each other for crumbs and pieces instead of solidifying ourselves and becoming one unit.
Okay, well, but now, wait.
Because, you know, as you talk about on your show, that's
been
a program.
You're more than welcome to come back anytime to talk about it. But I think that's very, very important. As you know, we talk about controlling your image and how you're projected as opposed to how you let people project to you. I want to talk about that. How do you feel about the, like you elaborated, that people who look like you were the people that you have the most problems with? Why do you think that is so?
I'm actually, as you've read my biography, I'm not from America. I was born in another country and I came here, and it's kind of being part of it and then seeing from the inside out, it's because of how America's beef. We've been trained to be these people. We've been trained that the fear of a black woman?
Mm-hmm.
There's people who are attracted to black women just because they're afraid of us, because they have some idea of the sense of power and the sense of, you know, whatever it is that we carry, because, you know, they're going to make Cleopatra white. Things like that in the next movie, you know.
Right.
I think it's a fear of the power of a black woman. It's the fear of the power of a black person, because it's always been that way. So we've been kind of trained and programmed to think that we're lesser than, even though we ran the longest dynasties for 4,000 years. Nobody's touched that.
Right.
We've been trained that way. We've been trained to keep, you know, a system of ignorance. We've been trained to think, well, this is how black women talk. This is how black women eat. We've been trained to think that we're these little molds instead of these incredible, powerful beings that we're the reason that math exists. Like, nobody knows that black women are the reasons that math exists, because we discovered how to do it while braiding hair. Nobody understands that the reason that these fabulous libraries still exist over the world is because Cleopatra of Nubian Queening kept libraries alive for 2,000 years as Europe was going through the Dark Ages. I mean, it's a lot of power, and I think we've been just kind of dumbed down because a lot of people are afraid of what we carry.
Speak on it, Professor.
Come on.
I mean, we don't look like this. We age less. Our bodies are almost naturally curvy. We're naturally muscular. Like, I see other people my age, and I can run 2 miles whether I'm in shape or not. And I'm thinking, like, wow, this just because of the way I'm built genetically?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of us suppose that this is how we are, this is who we do, this is how we do it, this is who we have to date, this is how we have to eat. A lot of it is just trying to control something that it's something as powerful as black women, eventually you can't control that. So you're going to constantly have to maintain a system of fear to keep us thinking that we're not there, that we're not smart, that we're not fast, that we're not able to rule a continent, rule a country, because we've already done it.
Now, speaking of that, now I know you work as a public speaker for Sister to Sister. Now, was that part of your impetus to get involved with that, so that you can positively affect, you know, show young girls that it's all right to be yourself when you look in the mirror?
Well, you know what? I actually started with Sister to Sister. I actually started doing public speaking when I was about 15 years old. And I started as an actor earlier, but doing public speaking with Sister to Sister started when I was 15 because I myself was a lost person. I don't really write about this, but I was homeless when I was 14 years old. Had domestic problems at home, and I found myself out on the street. And I took myself from that to going to college, and I told myself, wow, if I manage to get myself graduated after being homeless, I got myself graduated at 16 from high school, sent myself to college, and I'm thinking from when I was 16, I was thinking, wow, in 2 years, I've managed to send myself to college, do this, that, and the other, solely based on my power and my thoughts of I'm going to be successful. Ain't nothing going to stop me. And I felt that maybe I can show other girls who are lost, just like myself, you know, being homeless. You got to think, you might end up in a life of prostitution. You might end up in a life of drugs. You might end up, you know, you don't know where you're going to end up. And I want to show other girls that no matter where you at, no matter how bad it is, if you set your mind to it, you will have it. As a black woman, as a woman of color, you think you're too big, whatever. Keep rolling. Keep that confidence going because you can change all that.
That's right.
It's about the power in your mind, not what everybody else wants to tell you, not what everybody else sees. And this is what you are. You're always going to be this girl, this fat girl with glasses, or you're always going to be this chick over here. You're always going to be the ghetto rat that never goes to college, things like that.
All right.
I want to be able to talk to other young women and show them that anything you set your mind to, anything that you set your heart to, it is yours.
That's right.
The only person who can tell you different is you. So I think it was a lot of that thought, a lot of that thought pattern helped me reach out even at a young age and be like, you know what? I believe the power of women.
I believe in the power of women, too. Now,
I believe in the power of the people. I believe that we can do this.
Well, I got this question to ask you. I thought it was funny. I was reading that you had the nickname. I can kind of get why you got this nickname, but you want to tell us how you got the nickname Attila the Honey?
I'm a pretty rough girl. Like I had a problem with I would defend my other classmates that were getting made fun of or bullied. I'd usually beat up dudes. I was a girl that I would defend geeks. I would defend, you know, I feel like a weirdo. I feel like a geek, so I would defend them against defend them against bullies. I was the type of person that it didn't matter what you said to me. I'd walk right up to you and say whatever it is I had to say. I guess the way I would say it is, if the universe would answer, I would question the universe. Like nothing really stops me from doing what I'm going to do. So I'm kind of fiery.
Hey.
Sometimes a little mean. I ain't gonna say I've never karate chopped a person. I kind of made my career playing chicks who karate chop people, or you know, I make a lot of my career in a lot of my films playing chicks who are strong and superheroes and aren't afraid to snap a man's neck. But this is the way I am. Like
I saw you had a movie here, the Scarfed Assassin, which the premise was killing dudes who got away with rape in the legal system. You want to talk about that one? I know that sounds like right up your alley there.
Oh, The Scarfed Assassin?
Yes.
In The Scarfed Assassin, I play a world-renowned assassin. My name is Sheila, and I go around and let's say the rich people who might get off for cases of rape or child molesting or domestic abuse, well, I go and I hunt them down and I kill them. And it's for an organization of women where in the movie we go around and, we put an end to guys who kind of think that they are allowed to do whatever they feel like to women from around the world.
Mm.
If the men who think they're untouchable because they're rich, well, I go and I kind of take care of them.
All right.
So,
but
that
movie, I have a question. I wanted to read something. It says, I always play dangerous women. I don't know if it's my mind or my body that makes people think I'm the girl that men will want to talk to, but no, they shouldn't. That air of mystery, or maybe it's just a look in my eyes. I could be your goddess, your superhero, or maybe the girl that will get you into trouble that night. I love playing dangerous women. This I love that statement. Just talk about that just a little bit more, because your personality really lines up with that. And that's, you know, it don't seem like you would have to really do too much acting because it comes natural to you, it seems.
It really kind of does. Just the way I was raised, it's kind of, I don't know if it's a mixture of different women, but every woman in my family, I have an Irish grandma, I have a Native American grandmother, I have a Latino grandma, so it's a lot of these fiery, strong women that I kind of just pull from them. Like,
okay.
My grandparents told me a story that my father's mother and father met while he was running guns, and she was a burlesque dancer in the 1930s. You know, and my other grandfather is a boxer, and my other grandma, well, she's just fire. There's no way to really describe that. And I just kind of pull from those really strong characters from my life to do that. And in the end, I realized that those strong characters are a part of my life. That fiery Irish grandma, that Latino grandma that's like that just brings it, you know? So a lot of, like my one grandmother is a Latino and Irish, a Latino and Italian. And I mean, just a lot of fiery women with these strong personalities, and they, you know, it just kind of merged into my personality, and I realized that was my personality.
All right.
That those characters, those things that I'm playing really are me.
Okay, like well, talk about, since we're talking about characters, talk about what you're working on right now. What's up for Miss Fleming right here and right now? What are we working on?
Right now I'm actually working on producing my first film. If anybody, shout out to anybody who's got a camera crew if they feel like, you know, make a movie. Just letting everybody know. But right now I'm working on a film that I wrote myself. It's called Suck Ink. And I play this scam artist who goes around scamming and bilking old people out of money. Like, I want to make it's going to be a character that you hate. You're going to be like, I can't believe, really? What is wrong with that child? Like, you're not going to like me in the first 10 minutes. And I go and I bilk old people out of money or old or infirms out of money by telling them I'm a vampire hunter. I come into town and I pay people to go and scare these old people. And then one day I meet a client where they send me on a case and the vampires become real. So in the end, it's kind of, you end up cheering for me, even though you're like, man, she's still a son of a bitch. I still don't like it. But it's better than the vampires winning or the demons winning. So I guess I'm making a movie where everything that I'm pretending to be in the beginning, I'm pretending to be a great person, I'm pretending to be a hero, I'm pretending to be a vampire. By the end of it, I actually become those things.
Hmm.
I become that hero. But the main point of the movie is I want you to start off not liking me. Not liking me at all, being like, I can't believe I'm happy here, bitch. Oh! I mean, I want that reaction, but it's Suck Ink, and currently right now I'm trying to get it into production.
Okay.
And on the other hand, I'm playing an international spy in a series coming up called The Citadel. And that's more of a 24 character. I'm supposed to be playing the young head of a secret organization of spies. It's not the cat suit kind of spy. It's more the suit and tie kind of spy.
Well, I mean, to us, not that we would know what a spy looked like. In the hood.
You shouldn't know.
Yeah, in the hood, we call them snitches. Now, is this slated to be something on the network that we can look out for, or is it going to be something that's going to be released as DVD? How can we find that?
The Citadel right now is going to go in production in a few weeks,
mm-hmm.
And so that's probably going to be out on DVD in a little while.
Okay.
It's probably going to take us all summer to film it, so it'll probably be on DVD next winter. But if you're looking for me right now, I just did a movie where I'm with Owen Wilson, Giovanni Ribisi, and James Caan called Middlemen. And if anybody was catching Lifetime about 3 months ago, you can also catch me on Maneater, which stars Garcelle Bouvier and Sarah Chalk from Scrubs. And you can definitely see me in that. But a few things on the table and a few things kind of warming up right now.
All right. Well, I always say, whenever people say they're making movies, I want to do like Stan Lee. I just want to make, like, I want to walk across the street. Or I ain't asking for a lot. You know me.
Join the team. You gotta run out and be like, oh no, don't shoot that guy. Like, you gotta run out and do that.
I can't.
You gotta run out and do your little scene.
How you gonna get
that? You know, that's how acting is. Most of the time, that's all we're trying to get is a little Stan Lee role where you're like, oh, sir, you missed your bus. Like, you just want to be in a scene with a star. Like,
I can do
that. It's an honor just to talk.
But you see it running out. Oh, my God, he got shot. Come on.
That's what I do. And that's what I'm doing in Maneater, too. There's a scene where I have to run out and be like, is she okay? Unless, as an actor, you have to, like, live for those moments, because those are your big moments when you're not already either A, born rich, or B, born rich.
Born rich.
Like, this is an industry where you have to be born rich if you want that instant success. For the rest of us at the bottom, you got to kind of crawl and scrape your way, and if you get one scene where you're like, oh, how about a Coke? Then you're on top of the world. That's your way in.
All right. Well, I'll hold Coke or Pepsi, Sprite, Mountain Dew. I don't care.
Before you go, okay, I wanted to see if you could do something for me and for the listeners. I hear that you do a very good Bill Clinton.
Oh. Oh, it might not be that good today.
Okay.
It might not be that good today, but you know what? Let me see. Let me warm up. Wait.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, this is going to be bad, though. Hey, everybody out there, it's like, hey, I had a cough. I got a cold. Said no.
Oh, that's the excuse?
Huh?
That's the excuse you go throw out there?
That's the excuse right now. That's what I'm working with. I'm going to run with that, too.
I just wish people could hear your answering machine. I think your answer.
My dirty hair answering machine.
Hey. Yeah.
Hey.
Your answer machine is the funniest thing that I've ever heard as far as an answer message. I'll just say that. Y'all can't call her. But
you can't call me, but
yeah.
Well, I mean, what do you think? You think you're lucky? Did I fire 5 or 6 shots? But I realized I was leaving all these other kind of crazy messages on the answering machine. I was like, wait, I'm an actor.
Yeah.
I should be reenacting the greatest scenes ever and make people think, boy, that's an actor.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. Obviously.
Nobody is. I'm trying to get on my Bill Clinton right now. I'm like, well, I used to have it. Nobody's asked me to do it in such a long time.
All right, well, just think sperm on the dress.
Let's see. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Ooh, that was bad, Bill Clinton. I apologize, everybody.
It's all right. I can't do Bill Clinton either.
Sperm on the dress. What in the world? Okay.
But that was.
I apologize. Hey, I haven't had nobody ask me to do it in like a good like 5 years.
It's all good. Trust me. Now, before we go, please tell the people if they want to see Karita Fleming, where can they find you on the net?
On the net, you can find me at www.karita, K-A-R-I-T-A .us. Or you can just type in, if you just type in my name, Karita Fleming, I am the first thing that comes up. And if you type in Karita, I am the second thing that comes up. So if you just Google me, I'm usually in the top. I Googled myself today, which I hate to admit that, but, you know, I did. And
it's all good.
If you type in Karita Fleming, KaritaFleming, I will definitely be the only one that pops up right now. Except, while Googling, I noticed that there's a bunch of other Karitas. I was kind of mad. I was like, oh, I might have to hunt those down. There can be only one.
Highlander, Karita the Highlander.
I would love to be able to do Highlander. I want to be Grace Jones. That's my hero.
Yeah, with the hair, right?
Oh, I'll take the hair. I'll take the body. Grace Jones was an amazing, strong black woman who gets no credit for the work she did.
Oh, no.
She was Black Chicken, a Barbarian movie.
Yeah, she does a good job. I mean, most people remember her in Boomerang as Jay. You know,
I remember that too. But what made Grace Jones Grace Jones was when she was in James Bond. It's those type of women and those type of characters that I gravitate towards, because I realized first I thought, oh, I admire them, and I realized I admire them because it's kind of myself. Except Grace Jones is way more Grace Jones than I am right now.
I remember, but
that's what most of us remember as. But for me, the reason I want to start getting more action films and doing more of that, because I didn't get my great black superhero. I didn't get my great black superhero, and there was Foxy Brown and Cleopatra Jones and all these other stuff for the last generation, two generations before me. And I'm waiting for my black superheroine.
Hey,
and then I realized that I got to be my own black superheroine.
That's what I'm talking about. We going to make you the next black superheroine. It's coming.
I'm working on it.
We gonna make it happen. It's gonna be like.
Oh yeah, no, I know it's gonna happen. There's no way around it, because I realize, you know what? Maybe other little mixed girls, other little black girls can look up and say, well, damn, maybe I can be a superhero.
That's what I'm talking about.
Maybe I don't have to sit around and wait for some man to save me.
Right.
Maybe I'll save myself, and the right man will come along, and I'll save him.
All right.
Okay. Save me. I need to be saved.
Hey, there's a few out there. There's a few out there that would not mind being saved real quick.
Well, yeah. Well, that, and I also, you know, as someone, you know, not knowing your whole situation, but knowing your situation, that makes it even more remarkable that you're in the position that you're in now. I mean, I was impressed by the mentoring that you did. I mean, that to me is the most important thing that you've done. And also, I was impressed because you ball. Because I'm a baller too. So
I'm actually getting my finger repaired today. The doctor was just like, you can play basketball as long as you tape them up. And I'm like, yes. I ball, I box, I run, I lift weights, I swim. I do everything I can possibly do to stay healthy.
Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, yeah, because I ain't going to have this body forever, so I might as well make it as great. I might as well make it as good as it's going to be while I got it.
Well, I mean, but that's the thing. Maintain it. It's all about maintenance. And on that note,
yeah.
I want to thank you, Karita, for coming on the show. And Lord knows we're going to have you back.
Thank you guys, because I missed the Viagra talk. I didn't get to talk about the little cut about old boy Sean. Kind of sad. I'm like, oh, I'm running on that.
Well, it was actually a story. A woman was suing her husband because he was impotent. He didn't tell her. Yeah.
Oh, I don't think you can sue somebody over impotency.
Well, she's trying. $11 million.
Hopefully she don't win, because you can always get yourself some more. Ain't that what we make toys for?
Well,
your company's devoted to toys?
Well, hold on. This is over in Dubai. You know, it's a little different over there. Over here. See, over here, you can just, you ain't no good in tossing them out. You can't necessarily do it like that over there.
But maybe at the same time, anybody see what she looked like? Maybe he ain't impotent. Maybe she just don't look that good.
Well, yeah, that could
be. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? That's why I'm not in Dubai. America.
Well, I mean, I have a friend over there, and he said Dubai is like Vegas on steroids. So.
Oh yeah, no, I heard Dubai was live, but it's still a, Muslim country, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
well, it's still a Muslim country, so they can make their money. But when the lights shut off, it's still a Muslim country.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they don't care what you do when you come from another country, but they care what you do when you're in that country.
That is very true. Well, that's why I was making the point. That's why I thought it was shocking that she was actually suing. Obviously.
And I got a lot of lawsuits for people who couldn't deliver. I got some extras that need to get some summons today.
Hey, you.
I know. You know, I got a few dates that, honey, I might have to start checking my lawyers soon.
Wow.
Like, oh, really? See, you said that you had this, but when we got down to the park, you ain't have it. So I feel like
now,
I was lying.
You got the same thing that I just said.
Oh.
It was people lined up around the corner at the courthouse. You could do that here.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, I got some cases. I got some real serious cases on people.
See, that's a whole nother show.
Can you invite me to that one, too?
Oh, no problem. I can see working you in on that one.
Oh, no, I'll definitely take that, and I'll answer Carly's questions, too.
Well, since we got you here, we just going to ride it out. Now, I got one thing that I couldn't believe. It blew my mind where the priests, Catholic priests, were saying that molestation of boys as a breach of their celibacy, they don't believe there's a breach of virtue.
Maybe not the boy's virtue, but it's definitely a breach of the priest's virtue.
No, well, that's what they're saying. They were saying that, hey, they molested boys. It doesn't count.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if I ride up in the bullet in their heads, then I guess it don't count.
Maybe
we need to start. I don't know if I'm the only person that feels it. Maybe all these killers should be killed. Maybe if you're willing to take a little boy's life, then maybe I'm willing to send you to Bubba. Maybe I'm willing to put you in a jail cell with five dudes that ain't seen a woman in years. Maybe I'm willing to be just as rude as you are.
Point. Unfortunately, in our society, and this is worldwide, it seems, Catholic priests, they don't go to jail for rape. They just get reassigned.
And then they're allowed to give the families compensation for ruining the boys' lives.
Right.
But they never go to prison. I don't understand it.
I've never.
Then it sounds like to me that we need to start arming our kids with something a little bit harder than don't and stop. Maybe we need to start teaching our kids, you know, just cuss him. Just cuss his ass.
It's funny you mentioned that.
No.
Because in Texas, the Texas Senate just approved a measure Monday that would let licensed concealed handgun owners bring guns onto public college campuses. And also, the measure would allow, it's kind of funny here, it would allow only state lawmakers to carry concealed handguns in places like churches and hospitals.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm in Arizona right now, and you can carry a church in any, you can carry a gun in any place you feel like. You would take it to the bar with you here. I'm just here doing, you know, getting this movie and things together, and it's just a different world here in Arizona.
Yeah, we
they truly believe the amendment that a man has the right to bear arms. They truly believe that. I've had people, let me tell you this, I had a Jehovah's Witness knock on my door here with an AK-47 around his neck. He's like, oh, this is what I take with me around. I'm like, oh, well, how about I shut my door? You ain't pretending you ain't home. It's like that'll definitely make you pretend that you ain't home. If a Jehovah's Witness knock on your door and there's an AK looking at you like, oh, you know what? I'm remember. I'm cool. I'm cool.
I don't care who's knocking on my door. If you're knocking on my door with the AK,
That's Arizona, though. You can walk down the street with an AK strapped on your back.
Yeah, well.
It's still the Old West here. Like, everybody, well, I think maybe we should just shoot them, okay? That's the type of place it is. It's still the Old West here. You can still get into a gunfight here in Arizona, and that's the craziest part I've ever heard.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not that crazy. I mean, because Utah is actually the first state where you can have the concealed weapon. I mean, because we're talking about the concealed weapon. You know, we know that you can carry your gun if people can see it. But they're talking concealed weapons now. And you're talking about...
You can have a concealed weapon here, too. Like, so here's how we do it, right? We just give every little altar boy a concealed weapon and tell him, the priest comes there and you shoot him. So the priest comes there and just unconceal your concealed weapon. And we'll definitely cut down on child rape in the Catholic community.
Well, I think that Eddie Long would probably be dead now.
Yeah, you might have to start packing a little bit more than just a sandwich or a Lunchable in your kid's box now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a sobering thought. Now, on that note, our time is up. I want to thank you for coming on, and definitely... We're going to have you back. Can we just do this?
Oh, not a problem.
All the time.
Oh, yeah, no, it was awesome talking to you and Ms. 100%.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show.
It was definitely wonderful.
And we will look forward to your upcoming works. And you come back and you can talk about your movie release, because we look forward to seeing you in action.
Okay, thank you so much. I look forward to listening to your show more. I've been listening the last couple of weeks, and this is definitely one of the better shows I've heard. I'm definitely down to come back anytime.
Thank you very much. All right.
Thank you, guys.
Have fun. Well, you take care.
Okay, have a good night. Thank you, everybody out there. Love y'all, too. Peace.
All right. See you.
Good night.
All right. That, Carita Fleming. My new favorite actress of all time. Or something like that. Wow. That was a whole lot there. I mean,
yeah.
We didn't have enough time. We have to do that again. On that note, I want to thank once again Carita Fleming, great actress. Y'all look out for her. As she said, Google her. She's number one or number two. And probably number three also. I want to thank my magnificent co-host, Miss 100%, for being the great co-host that you are.
Always a pleasure.
I want to thank the listeners for listening, the people who participate in the chat rooms, whatnot. You make the show what it is. Now on that note, I'm Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-word. So my main homegirl, Miss 100%, Smooth Drama, we out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast, smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you guys,
smooth. Drama.